Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast. My name is Zachary Bennett. I produce the program. Be sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Twitter at Locked On Podcast. Locked On Wolves is on Twitter as well. The program itself at Locked On Wolves. Short episode today. I'm going to quickly talk about some of what happened during the Minnesota Timberwolves 105-91 loss at the hands of the San Antonio Spurs. I'll make some notes about the Wolves' next opponent, who they face tomorrow, 6 p.m. local time. You can catch the game on TNT, nationally televised game. Good times. The Toronto Raptors. And I will delve into a little bit about the transition play and just look at some of the numbers that I've got pulled up on my computer here in regards to how the Wolves perform in transition, how Ricky Rubio could have a large reason for why the Wolves have struggled to take care of the ball in transition offensively, and why how the poor transition defense is translating into points for the opponents, and what type of rate that is happening at, and where it stacks up compared to teams league wide on a per 48 minute basis. So, without any further ado, like I said, the Wolves were defeated by the San Antonio Spurs 105-91. The Spurs having rested Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili because this is a back-to-back situation, and that's just what the Spurs do. They placed a lot of the proverbial heavy lifting on Kawhi Leonard, who was more than up to the task. Kawhi Leonard finishes the victory with 31 points on 11 of 15 shooting to go with 4 assists and 2 steals. Patty Mills, Patty Thrills as he is called, came off the bench. He did not start in lieu of the resting Tony Parker, but he did score 15 points off the bench and finished with a team high plus minus of positive 29. Nicholas Laprovidola, I'm butchering the name, Nicholas Laprovidola, somebody I've never heard of, and I consider myself a somewhat educated international basketball fan. I've watched enough of what I can watch being an American to know the names of plenty of players, but I had never really heard of him. He started at point guard for the Spurs, ended up scoring 10 points, tallying 2 assists. He was 4-5 from the field, but a team low negative 15 in terms of plus minus. All in all, another poor third quarter performance dooms the Wolves. Stop me if you've heard that before. The Spurs outscore the Wolves 29-18 in the third quarter. The Spurs shoot over 60%. The Wolves did shoot over 50% in their own right, but just did not do enough to get it done. This was probably Karl Anthony Towns, his worst performance of the season in terms of shooting. He shot 3 of 16 from the field. He did make all 4 of his 3 throws and accumulate 14 rebounds, but 3 of 16, 18%. It's not good, as they say, not great. Bob, Andrew Wiggins, tasked with guarding the aforementioned Kawhi Leonard, who shot 73% from the field, by the way. Struggled to get things going offensively. Missed his only 3-point attempts. He only got to the line 3 times. He made 1 of his 3 free throw attempts. Shoots 5 of 12 from the field, which is good, but finishes with 11 points. A tall task, having to defend Kawhi and carry the load, the scoring load anyway, or contribute to the scoring load in a major way. It was Zach LaVine who carried the scoring load for Minnesota, scoring 25 on 9 of 16 shooting. He's played very impressive in recent weeks and, you know, what the whole season. He tallies his sixth 25-plus point game of this season, and prior to that, he had scored 25 points six times in the last 60 games total. So, excuse me, really goes to show you how Zach LaVine is coming along. I put it out there on Twitter, at ZacharyBD on Twitter is where you can find me, by the way. I put it out on Twitter that if I need anybody to get a bucket on the Timberwolves team right now as it stands, I'm picking Zach LaVine. There's no question about that. Sort of a moment worth mentioning last night. Britt Robeson mentioned it on Twitter. A fan about 10 rows up begins yelling at Ricky Rubio near the end of the game, and Zach LaVine, who is heading off the court as the teams go to their respective huddles for a timeout, defends his teammate, yelling, using an expletive, "Shut the front door." Only he didn't say front door. Pretty cool. Camaraderie, et cetera, et cetera, all of that. How do I put this? I've heard and seen more than enough Rubio bashing in my time covering this team to have lost the energy to defend his game and all of the positive contributions that he brings despite such poor shooting numbers and shooting accuracy. I will say that to single him out in a game where he was obviously not the sole reason for the Wolves losing. Rubio was two of nine from the field. He added five rebounds and six assists. You're very, very much a typical Rubio stat line, but he was definitely not the reason the Wolves lost. And so to single him out and sort of use him as the scapegoat, as this fan did, and as many fans tend to do, by the way, not all of them, and perhaps not even a majority, but there is definitely a noteworthy contingent out there who tends to bash Rubio. To single Rubio out is wrong. It's misguided. I'll talk a little bit more about how Rubio has affected the Wolves' performance in transition, especially at the offensive end, a little later, like I mentioned at the beginning of the program. But, you know, do better. If you're gonna pay to go to a game, I mean, at least this guy stayed the whole time. A lot of people will leave early, and the Wolves, last I checked, which was about a week ago, are at the bottom of the league in terms of average home attendance. They're in the midst of a heated battle with Denver for that spot. So, A, go to games if you're a fan listening. But B, when you do go to games, don't yell at the players. Don't make it personal. Don't antagonize anybody. Don't taunt them. There's really no reason for that. A lot of these guys, I mean, I'm 7 months older than Ricky Rubio. Well, yeah, somewhere around there. At 26 years old. Most of the Wolves starters are 21 years old. These are kids learning how to play the game of basketball at the highest possible level. And in the midst of a losing season, it's probably very frustrating for them. Sure, there is that whole thing where they make a lot of money, but they work their frickin' tails off too. So it's not fair to ridicule them in the fashion that this particular fan did near the end of Monday's matchup against the San Antonio Spurs. Given that I just demanded fans go to the games, or suggested, however you want to take it, now would be a pretty decent time, or a timely time, to talk about SeatGeek, the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for games you want to see up close in person. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, whether you want to sit on the upper level, down low with the beautiful people, courtside, club seats, you know, wherever. It doesn't matter. SeatGeek is the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere. I just pop open my phone, tap it around a few times, tap the screen a few times. It's cracked. I should remedy that. I should have the glass replaced on my iPhone 7, but just tap a few buttons, and bam, there you go. Tickets. I've got them. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because the app compares prices from multiple ticket sites and organizes them in a very readable, aesthetically pleasing fashion, and gives you the lowest available price for the seats where you want to sit. It'll help you get the most bang for your buck and grade each of these tickets based on their value. You'll immediately see underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And most importantly, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. Lastly, those who listen to the Locked On Wolves podcast will receive a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase by entering the promo code LOWOLVES. But here are the specifics. Let me break it down for you on how to get that $20 rebate. Download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab. Click add a promo code. Enter that promo code that I just mentioned, LOWOLVES. SeatGeek will then send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So, again, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter LOWOLVES, where it prompts you to enter the promo code. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. You can buy upper-level seats, or at least one upper-level seat for $20 at the Target Center for Timberwolves games, I'm almost positive. And so, basically, you know, if you want to take a lady on a date to a Timberwolves game and you're trying to do it on the cheap, use the promo code LOWOLVES when you download the SeatGeek app and go to the settings tab. And you will basically just be paying for her. Now you're going to have to buy food and all that stuff, and if you want to do it right anyway, I don't know. I don't know how you do dates, but it will save you a chunk of cash. So that is it. That's all I will say about SeatGeek on this episode of Locked On Wolves. Let's get back to what we were talking about before, which was, fans behave. Behave when you go to those games after you've purchased tickets on SeatGeek. Tomorrow's opponent, the Toronto Raptors. They're pretty good. 14-7. They rank second in the Eastern Conference. They were on a 6-game winning streak before falling to the Cleveland Cavaliers 116-112 over the weekend. They will be well rested. It'll be 3 days since their last game when they take the floor to face the Timberwolves tomorrow. The Raptors rank second in offensive rating. They're a middle of the road defensive rating, around 14th. A very solid post player in Jonas Valanciunas. Damari Carroll has been a nice piece for them. I'm hoping to talk with either William Liu or Sean Woodley. Sean Woodley hosts the Locked On Raptors podcast, and William Liu does some audio work for Raptors Republic. He covers the Raptors and the NBA at large for The Score, and either of those two are much more well-versed on storylines pertinent to Toronto than myself. So I'm hoping to have one of those two guys or somebody else, another Raptor expert, on the pod tomorrow. So keep an eye out for that. Quickly delving into some of the transition numbers, some of the statistics that Synergy Sports provides. The Wolves are, I wouldn't say excelling in transition this season. They are 22nd in the league in terms of points per possession, scoring 1.037 points per possession. That ranks 22nd, as I said. A big part of that is because of turnovers in transition situations, offensive transition situations. Their turnover percentage in transition is 18.3, which is worse than any other team in the league. Now, they're scoring on 51.2% of transition percentage, or transition possessions. I'm sorry, I can't speak ever, not just today, but ever. which is there are worse teams. For instance, the Sixers, which isn't a team the Wolves want to be compared to, I'm sure, score on just over 40% of their possessions, but the Atlanta Hawks, 47, the New York Knicks, 42. So the Wolves are actually converting in transition at a fairly high rate, but they're crippling themselves with the frequency at which they commit turnovers, which is not ideal. A big reason, perhaps, and I'm looking deeper into the numbers for a post that will eventually publish at coldomaha.com, as has been promised over weeks. Just ask my editor, Tom Schreier. Ricky Rubio scoring a very low 0.6 points per possession in transition situations, 30 such situations he's been in this season. Turning the ball over at a remarkably high rate, 36.7%. That is not good. There are only, count them, five guards in the league who are putting up less points per possession. They are TJ McConnell of the Sixers, Jeremy Lin of the Brooklyn Nets, Rajon Rondo of the Chicago Bulls, Rodney Stuckey of the Indiana Pacers, and Aaron Brooks of the Indiana Pacers. Of those, Rajon Rondo is the only other player to have been in at least 30 transition situations. But by comparison, one of Rubio's teammates, who has been in a lot more transition situations, 78 of them, Zach LaVine, scoring 1.32 points per possession in transition. So over half a point higher. He's turning the ball over at He's turned the ball over in just 9% of those situations. So a much lower turnover percentage there. LaVine ranks 12th in the league among guards with at least 10 transition possessions in terms of points per possession, ahead of Kemba Walker, just below Kyle Lowry, who we'll see tomorrow when the Wolves take on the Raptors. So Rubio, we like to romanticize about him sometimes. Wolves fans do. That is, in theory, Ricky Rubio running the break, LaVine to his left, Wiggins to his right, even Towns trailing. I mean, in theory, Rubio would be the anchor of a great offensive transition team, but that just hasn't been the case. There's obviously the whole point guard rotation that has impacted probably some of the chemistry that's gone on. It's been grim, very grim in transition situations for Rubio and the Wolves as well. So look for a post that will say much, much, much more about the Wolves' transition performance, both offensively and defensively. With specific regards to Ricky Rubio on coldomaha.com in the coming days, hopefully tomorrow, if all bodes well. That'll bring me to Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn played his best game of the season, I thought, especially as far as scoring the basketball is concerned, against the Spurs on Monday night, scoring 15 points, shot 6 of 7 from the field, made some difficult long twos. Shot selection was a little better. Tom Thibodeau was complimentary of the way he's progressed of late. In his post-game press conference, for those who read or subscribe to the Star Tribune, Jim Suhan, who covered the game on Monday, had opinions, as he is one to do, about the way Rubio has played lately and how Chris Dunn seems to be coming along, and the changing of the guard. He alludes to, if he doesn't write it verbatim, that the changing of the guard is essentially imminent. If you'll remember, there was that whole Yahoo article that proclaimed Thibodeau believed that Dunn would be ready or wouldn't be ready to take over as a starting point guard until 20 games into the season. Obviously, the Wolves have played 21 games. Chris Dunn is still not the starting point guard. I thought Rubio played really well in the Wolves' victory over the Charlotte Hornets late in the game. I thought he played well in the Wolves' home loss to the Knicks when he finally got in there, that's when, shortly after, there was that stretch of games when Tyus Jones had been the closer. We likened him to a baseball closer. We likened the Wolves point guards to a Major League Baseball pitching staff. So Chris Dunn still not ready, perhaps coming along. Maybe Monday's performance was a sign of what's to come. I still think the offense, at least when he's with the starters, he's played well with the second unit. I talked about the second unit's improved play lately. They like to move the ball. They've seemed to been able to get the Wolves back in games. Chris Dunn has had a big part in that, but I'm still not ready to commit to him as a starter. I don't think he gets the offense going well in the half court. Defensively, he's athletically there. He still gambles. He's still got some work to do as far as staying within the shell and playing within the confines of the system. Shot selection has been a big problem for him, and shooting accuracy has been a big problem for him. I think this performance against the Spurs could very well be an anomaly. Everybody has nice nights. Eventually, he'll regress to the mean. It will be interesting to see moving forward. Dunn's field goal percentage is up to 39.2%. He's 6 of 15 from behind the three-point line this year. That's 40% for those of you keeping track at home. He has logged 58 assists to 28 turnovers. He's recorded 26 steals. The one blemish on his season averages this year is his free throw percentage. He's made just 20 of 21, 64% from the free throw line. So obviously the guy's 22 years old and he's got time, but I think there is merit, and it is the prevailing wisdom around Wolvesdom, Wolvesville, people amongst the Wolves Twittersphere, that Chris Dunn will inevitably take over for Ricky Rubio as the starting point guard. When Ricky Rubio will take a seat to Chris Dunn, or if he'll depart from the team by way of trade, or when his contract expires, who's to say? Nobody knows. But that's quite enough of my rambling for today. So my name is Zachary Bennett. This has been the Locked On Wolves podcast. Talk to you tomorrow.
Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.